A disappointing showing in Tuscaloosa likely ends Auburn's hopes at the NCAA tournament. Welcome into this edition of the Barn Hoops podcast. As always, I'm your host, Jacob Hillman, and we are looking back at this 12-point loss to Alabama inside Coleman Coliseum. Auburn gets swept in the season series against Alabama and just really came out flat in this game. He got pushed around and dominated in areas that Auburn should not have been against Alabama. But as always, make sure you're subscribed to the Barn Podcast Network and hit the like button on YouTube or subscribe wherever you listen to your podcast, as we have all the breakdowns, the updates, and everything surrounding Auburn basketball and Auburn athletics right here on the Barn Podcast Network. But Auburn falls in a game that was likely a must-win for the Tigers to get into the NCAA tournament. And right now, you look around, and there are some bracketologists, Joe Lunardi for one, at ESPN, that still has the Tigers in as the last team in, because when you look at the bubble, every bubble team lost pretty much. But I do think that this is more comparable to that Texas A&M team in 2022 that didn't get in after making it to the SEC tournament championship, and everyone thought the Aggies were in. They were not. So we'll talk more about the bubble and the tournament chances after we kind of break down this loss for Auburn, and a game that the Crimson Tide led by as many as 28 points. That took place early in the second half before Auburn ultimately found something late in the second half, but was already trailing by way too much to really make a serious threat at a run to potentially come back. And it all started in the first half when Alabama just jumped out, I think, to an 8-0 lead. And Auburn was turning the ball over. Auburn was having defensive breakdowns and miscommunications where the lane was wide open for Alabama. It was easy for them to get to the lane, and it showed with LeBaron Filon and how good he was in this outing. Aiden Holloway with 21 points. That's kind of a quiet 21 points, and if you ask me, I didn't, at the end of the game, when looking at the box score, it was definitely, okay, wow, Aiden scored 21. Filon was dominant, though, from start to finish, and it was not a three-point barrage for the Crimson Tide like you might expect. Just 7 threes and 7 of 27, shooting 26% from deep. And Alabama, where it made its money, was in the paint. 58 paint points to Auburn's 32. Can't happen. It's something that has unfortunately become a bit of a trend for the Tigers over the last couple of weeks. And when you go back to the success that Auburn had in January, beating Florida, beating Texas, that four-game winning streak where you thought things had maybe turned the corner and the Tigers were going to go on a bit of a run, Auburn was dominating and having success in the paint against some of the best front courts in the nation, like Florida. And that has since not been the case for Auburn. On top of teams shooting lights out from three, again, that's not the case in this game. You can't even look at that as, well, Alabama just got hot. They really did a good job at exploiting Auburn's commitment to not letting Alabama shoot threes and just found the open lane wide open. And Amari Allen and Aiden Sherrell were two other guys that just constantly got to the rim and were able to have easy wide open layups or dunks. And I mean, the rebounding numbers are another thing to look at, because Alabama out rebounds Auburn 42-28, 19 offensive rebounds for the Crimson Tide, Auburn just 9, and that led to 24 second chance points. Auburn scores just 8. The story is right there. And a lot of times in these matchups, and when we do these game breakdowns, it's more in depth than just looking at, you know, the team comparison, but not in this case. You look at the points in the paint, second chance points, and the rebounding, and that tells the story. With the way the game started, it wasn't that, but for the full 40 minutes, Auburn was getting just bullied on the interior. And the Tigers were not boxing out. It felt like we're never in position for any of the misses that Alabama had. And again, Alabama didn't shoot the ball particularly well. Just didn't. 52% from the field. That works. That tracks along with the paint points and them getting to the rim. But again, 26% from three, 65% from the free throw line. Crimson Tide did not do anything fancy. That's kind of the whole issue here, is that Auburn had this game plan to stop the 3-point shooting, but just couldn't adjust to Alabama being ready for that. And that was just the most disappointing fact to that game. Was just no adjustments being made on the defensive end for Auburn. And like I said, when you look up and you're down 20 before halftime, it's tough to come back and after the half and feel confident. And Auburn does outscore Alabama in the second half, and like I said, makes some runs, but it was just all too little too late. And on the offensive side, after settling down, Auburn's offense got going, but early on, it was just too many turnovers that gave Alabama the early edge, and they were just able to build off of it. And that's why, you look at Kevin Overton and Todd Pettifor, they get 24 points and 19 points, but Overton's 22 of his points came in the second half. He was a non-factor in the first half, and then Pettifor, he's 7 of 16 and only 4 assists. Auburn, 8 assists to 13 assists to 13 turnovers. Just again, not going to get it done in a game against a top 3 or 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. You're not going to have a lot of success when it looks like that. And thing is, Alabama didn't have a ton of assists themselves, but that's because it was easy for them just to drive to the rim, and they weren't having to kick out or anything. They were able to shoot the ball and score off misses. So, yeah, just a disappointing performance all around. Keyshawn Hall scores 13 points. Elijah Freeman's 11. I've been loving what I've been seeing from Freeman as he's been inserted into the starting lineup. He brings a scoring punch that Sebastian Williams-Adams wasn't quite bringing as of late. And Sway is still doing a lot of good things off the bench. And again, you look at the numbers, it doesn't appear that way with just 5 points and 3 assists and 2 rebounds, but he was smart in place and continued to play good defense. And I mean, that's just kind of the key there. And when you look at the plus minus, he was kind of one of the better guys. Like Taha Pettifor, minus 21, Overton's minus 13, and Sway was minus 9. So you hope that can continue to develop, and you can hope that looking ahead to next year that Auburn's able to build around guys like your young guys like Sebastian and Elijah Freeman. And that's kind of the bright side, on the bright side kind of where I'm going to go with that. I don't want to sit here and completely sunshine pump something that we're obviously all disappointed in and would prefer to be in the NCAA tournament without hoping that the committee makes a decision. You'd like that to be kind of set in stone, but it's not. And I just, there's not much to add about this game anymore, because again, I feel like we've gotten to this point where the frustration just comes out for this team, and they don't look like that. Of course, it's wild, because what they show on the court, it to me just looks like they get frustrated and flustered, but then they fight back and make this a respectable score. Because when you're down 28 with 12 minutes to go in the game or however long it was, you start to think, oh boy, this could get historical, and fortunately it didn't for Auburn. And man, it just really is frustrating. So I mean, it's time to look ahead and look at this bubble situation and where Auburn kind of stands, because going into the SEC tournament, Auburn will be the 12 seed due to the loss to Alabama and Oklahoma getting a win at Texas. That's another factor. Every single road team in the SEC other than Auburn won yesterday. That's a brutal trend that was that leading into the game, you saw it. And it's like, man, that you feel like, okay, that's nice for the vibes. And it didn't matter. Auburn was the lone road team to lose on the final Saturday of the regular season. So looking at the bracket matrix, Auburn's in 15 brackets still, including Joe Lenardi's of ESPN. And I just really think that when you break it down with some of these guys, because let's face it, Joe Lenardi's also very much trying to play both sides of it. Let's just call a spade a spade. And you can see the way, if you just read between the lines of the way he describes it and talks about it, I can't with a good conscience just rely on that. It's just, he's the biggest name, whatever. But you look at the rest of them, like some of these guys that I quite frankly have a lot more respect for as far as their brackets go. Auburn is not in the field of 68 for them. That's the case. Auburn needed to win last night. And it's really unfortunate that the Tigers couldn't capitalize on all these other bubble teams losing. I mean, that's the thing. You go and look at it, and the teams that needed wins yesterday didn't get them. Just didn't. And Auburn had an excellent chance to solidify itself in the field with the win, but just couldn't get it done. Because, I mean, you look at – so right now, Auburn's the last team in, according to Lenardi. And you look at all the teams around them, Indiana lost. Virginia Tech lost. New Mexico lost. Cincinnati lost. California lost. And even teams like Santa Clara, SMU, VCU, just I don't know. They're above Auburn, and you don't expect them to drop below the Tigers. But it's just, to me, this is the weakest bubble in a while, and it's the only reason this conversation is even happening for Auburn, because in any other year, I feel like it'd be pretty obvious that Auburn's not making the tournament unless it goes and wins the SEC tournament title. And obviously that'll be a difficult path. We'll kind of get into that in just a few minutes. But yeah, it's the resume is solid because of the wins you have. The issue is some of these losses have stacked up, like at Mississippi State, at Oklahoma. At home against Ole Miss is completely unacceptable and will ultimately be the reason that you're left out of the tournament. And when you even go back a little bit further to the beginning of SEC play, Georgia and Texas A&M, the Georgia game's one thing. It's an overtime game on the road against a Georgia team that basically ended up having the best regular season it's ever had. 22 regular season wins for the Bulldogs, most in that program's history. So that's something just to kind of look back on and consider. But that Texas A&M game where you blow a 16-point lead at home and we're milliseconds away from surviving with an incredible buzzer beater from Keyshawn Murphy. If that game flips the other way, you're 17-14, 8-10 in the league. I think you're solidly in the field of 68. And you're going back again to that time frame where we were talking about the SEC schedule, what to expect and how this team could capitalize. And we broke down the kind of the first six games, the middle six games, and the final six games of the season, and how Auburn needed to capitalize on the first six and the last six because of how difficult the middle six were. And Auburn didn't do that, with the exception of getting a couple of surprise wins in the middle of those six games. And that's why the optimism, for me at least, began to grow for the Tigers. When you beat Arkansas by 22 and you go to Florida and win, and you're on a four-game winning streak, you've won 4 of 5 after that Tennessee game when you go to Knoxville and lose. And that's another thing. What started all this spiraling was that game at Tennessee, in a game that it wasn't a really that poor of a performance, if you ask me. They had some bad stretches, and that's something that we've discussed the last few weeks, is just the inability to sustain runs and turn those runs into leads and things like that. That was the issue in the Tennessee game. Otherwise, Auburn played fine, and you know how tough it is to win in Knoxville. And from there, it just seemed to get worse by game by game. The Alabama game, you have that 10-minute that run in the final 2 or 3 minutes that gets the Crimson Tide back in the game after they trailed by 10, and Auburn unable to recover after halftime. Then you kind of get into this run of point guards going absolutely crazy against you. Tyler Tanner for Vanderbilt, Darius Acuff for Arkansas, Josh Hubbard, of course, for Mississippi State, who we will see again on Wednesday in Nashville. And that continued until about the Ole Miss game. And you look at it, and those first six games ultimately were not as easy as I thought going into conference play. Georgia, like I just said, most regular season wins in program history. Texas A&M started off the conference schedule undefeated for, I think, 6-0, maybe 7-0, and was in first place. There was talk of, I mean, they could have won the SEC title. Of course, Florida does what they do, and Texas A&M falters a little bit in February. But that game at that time turned out to be a heck of a matchup. And then the Arkansas game, of course, the Razorbacks are the third place team in the SEC. Missouri is a tournament team. Going on the road there and winning was just not an easy task at all. And then, yeah, the South Carolina Ole Miss are two of the bottom teams in the league, and Auburn handled business there in January. And that's where the factor comes in of the last six games, where, all right, Mississippi State, 13th in the SEC. Kentucky is 9th in the SEC. Oklahoma, also lower tier, 11th in the SEC. Ole Miss at 15th, and LSU is dead last, and you only win two of those games. You're 2-4 down the stretch, and you don't have any room before that for error, and that's where it all culminates to this. And according to Bart Torvik and T-Rank, 13% chance to make the NCAA tournament. So I do think Auburn needs to automatically qualify with an SEC tournament title to make the big dance. And again, I go back to that 2022 Texas A&M game. And this might not be a valid comparison, to be completely honest, because obviously Texas A&M that season assuredly did not play as tough of a schedule as Auburn did this season. Because Auburn's strength of schedule this year is far and away tougher than anything Auburn's faced and what SEC teams were doing or are doing now. And that wasn't the case then. And you look at the record, and they made it to the NIT, but they were 23-12. So 9-9 in the SEC, and they didn't get in. And Auburn's record's obviously much worse. They finished the season strong. They won from February 22nd on to the SEC championship and still got left out of the NCAA tournament. Again, the bubble is stronger that year. It's not as strong this year. But when you just look at the records, that's where the comparison falls. And looking at the non-conference schedule, they lost to Wisconsin, they beat Butler, they beat Notre Dame, and lost to TCU. Those are kind of their four premier non-conference games. And they also had some, even non-Division I games. So no, the strength of schedule and the metrics there are not as strong as what Auburn has with wins over Florida and Arkansas and facing off against teams like Houston and Michigan and Arizona. But I just think that considering the record that Texas A&M had, I think you've got to go and win the whole dang thing to have a chance. Because now you do have a quad three loss. NC State has dropped out of quad one territory, so it's a quad two game now. You're 4-2 in quad two, and you're 4-11 in quad one, including some pretty brutal losses like the Michigan one, like Arizona. You did beat the Big East champions in St. John's by 11 points, but it's none of that's just going to be enough, in my opinion. And that's the most disappointing part of it. And now you got to go win five games in 5 days, starting with Mississippi State on Wednesday at 2 o'clock. Josh Hubbard just had another 40-point performance. He had his seventh 30-plus point performance of the season. And no other SEC player has more than three. Like, that guy is on fire. And Auburn will have to key in and not him do it. He's also scoring the basketball. He's not just shooting lights out from three and you know, like he did against Auburn in Starkville, but that was more of an outlier than anything else. He's doing a really good job at just driving to the basket and doing things like that. Now, as far as the rest of the bracket goes and Auburn's path, again, Tigers dropped to the 13 or the 12 seed, and instead of being the 11 seed and kind of getting that late game on Wednesday, Auburn's playing the second game of the day of the tournament. And if you beat Mississippi State, you got to go through Tennessee and then Vanderbilt to get to Saturday. With that said, I think this is a pretty, I'm not going to say it's best case scenario, but you avoid Florida until Saturday. You'd probably prefer to not play them until Sunday, but you're going to have to play them either way. You're on the opposite side of Alabama and Arkansas. I think Tennessee and Vanderbilt are definitely a step below those two teams. So if you're able to get something going against Tennessee and Vanderbilt, and here's another deal, you're on the same side as Kentucky as well. So that's obviously going to be a lot of Kentucky blue and Tennessee orange in the stands for those games, especially being in the midweek. And yeah, that's just how it's going to be. So you got to get through Mississippi State first. And again, I point towards that game back in Starkville where the Tigers led by 7 with 4 minutes to go and let it get away from them after trailing by such a large margin. So I think Auburn will absolutely be motivated to get theirs back and try and make a run to make the tournament. But yeah, you got to win 5 games in 5 days. That's difficult to do. So I'll be up in Nashville for Auburn's games and breaking it down from there with the Auburn Sports Network crew. So I'm looking forward to that. And hopefully I'm up there for a while. That's what I want to be. I want to be there through Sunday. I want to celebrate an SEC tournament title. It's just going to be a tough path to get there. And, you know, if you do that, then that's the thing is obviously an automatic qualifier. There's no denying it. It is what it is, but it's going to be tough to turn it around in just a few days of work. So we'll have all those breakdowns. And, you know, if it doesn't go the Tigers' way, then we'll start to look ahead to the offseason and what Auburn needs to focus on. The Tigers still will be trying to hire a GM before the transfer portal opens after the tournament so that they can come in and start to work on what they want to do with this roster, starting with retention. That's going to be first and foremost. I think you heard that word a ton with Auburn football and the coaching change back in December. It's going to be a similar story here. Obviously not a coaching change, but just in this era with the transfer portal being so prevalent, everyone's pretty much a year-to-year free agent. It just is what it is. And I'll be very interested to see kind of who the guys are that step up and immediately say, I'm coming back to Auburn. We've heard from Kevin Overton multiple times, and things can change, but that he wants to return for his final year of college basketball to Auburn. He's never been on a team for more than 1 year, and he said that he wants to do that. And obviously, he had to come back to Auburn to do so. So we'll see how that all transpires. Obviously, the Tigers are more focused on winning games in Nashville and getting to the big dance before then, but I'm sure some of those conversations are being had and they're working on getting that done. So when that hire is made, we'll break it down and kind of what that will look like going forward. And again, what the roster needs to look like next year. But right now, let's stay focused on right now and what this team can do this year. So make sure you're subscribed on YouTube to the Barn Podcast Network and hit the like button as well as wherever you listen to your podcast for all the breakdowns. Auburn baseball had a big sweep over Winthrop and get set for SEC play starting next week. Barn Baseball Show will have you covered. And then spring football is coming up as well. So tons of notes and reactions and kind of what we're hearing out of spring camp all across the Barn Podcast Network. So make sure you're tuned in right here for all of the coverage that's coming up over the next several months and several weeks. As like I said, the basketball offseason is coming up as well. We'll talk about roster changes and the transfer portal and what's going on there. So as always, thank you for tuning in and sticking with us this year because I know it's been a tough one. I mean, there's no beating around the bush that this season was disappointing and it's unfortunate to go from Final Four to probably out of the tournament in 1 year, but sometimes things just don't work out the way that you plan for. And I just think that whenever the season does officially come to a close, I think just look back and kind of see where things went wrong and specifically, and you know, you don't want to necessarily call out individual guys, but I just think that maybe there was just some things that just didn't click together, and it is what it is. That's part of it. So thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Barn Hoops Podcast.